And Jim, whenever you're ready to start, you can play.
Jesus Christ, the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Alleluia. Welcome, friends, to this time of worship. Welcome to Tabernacle United Church. My name is Katie Akins. I'm the pastor of Tabernacle, and my pronouns are she, her, hers. I'm so glad to welcome each of you to this time of worship on Easter Sunday, the day where we remember and give thanks that death is not the final word. God's life and mercy and goodness follow us and are the final word on our lives. So praise God, welcome, and I want to welcome each of you here to this service. I want to especially welcome those of you who are visiting with us for the first time. If this is your first time here with us, welcome. We're so glad you're here and that you've taken the time to join us this morning. If you are visiting for the first time, we'd be happy for you to introduce yourself. You can do that through the chat feature. Just let us know your name, that you're visiting with us. We'd love to hear that you're here. And also, we have a virtual visitor card. If you would like to fill that out, you can do that as well. We'll put the virtual visitor card in the chat so you can just take the time, perhaps after the service, to fill that out. Let us know a little bit about yourself. If you'd like to connect further, we would love to be in touch. So before we begin and enter into this time of worship, I want to, or we already have started our time of worship, but I want to interrupt for a moment with just some announcements this morning. So just about this week, well, first of all, following our service today, I want to highlight that we will have some time after the service for some chatting on Zoom. So if you can stay, we're going to have the main room open for a virtual coffee hour where we can greet one another and have some time to talk. Also, there will be a breakout room option if you would like to go to the Resurrection Dance Party, which will be happening also on Zoom. So you can dance and celebrate today. So PAX, thankfully, will be hosting that dance party. So you can stay and chat or and then you can leave and go to and dance a little bit afterwards. So that is also happening right after the service today. A couple other things happening this week. We have our regular Tuesday and Thursday morning prayer gathering. It's all on Zoom. All of these things are on Zoom at 8:30 in the morning. If you'd like to join us for prayer and you'd like the links or to know how to join, just let us know and we'll make sure you can join us for that on Tuesday and Thursday morning. There won't be any, there will not be a Bible study this week. We usually do Bible studies on Wednesdays at 5:30. We will not meet this week, but we will meet the following week. So we will resume our Bible studies the following week. Also this week, a Friday evening, we will have our happy hour, which drinks are optional. Anyone is welcome. We especially encourage new folk to the community to come as an opportunity to get to know each other. So Friday at 7 o'clock, we'll have a virtual happy hour as well. Those are our announcements for today. If you have any questions or want to get more involved, just let us know in the chat and we'll also welcome you again to fill out the visitor card. So let's go, let's continue now in our worship on this day and let us call ourselves to worship. Amen.
Good morning and welcome. My name is Sana Del Corazon. I use she, her pronouns.
My name is Gina Del Corazon. I use Gina and Gina as my pronouns.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Hope is alive.
Hope is alive indeed.
God's love is healing us. God's love is eternal.
Hallelujah.
We shall not die. We shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Come church, let's sing praises together.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And this is Justin Yoder, pronouns he, him. And we invite you this morning to sing and celebrate with us that in Jesus Christ we are set free. Let's sing together.
Great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The Lamb of God calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah.
to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has
grateful for Marquise bringing that song to us, and for everyone in the congregation who sends songs and who has songs that resonate with them. This song is from Lynn Lampman, Still Rolling Stones. And if you don't know this song, I think you'll learn it quickly. Let's sing together.
Out of the shadows, bound for the gallows, a dead man walking. Love came calling, rise up, rise up. 6 feet under, I thought it was over. An answer to prayer, the voice of a Savior says, rise up, rise up. All at once you came alive, your beating heart, your open eyes, the grave let go, the darkness should have known. Oh, you're still rolling stones. Oh, you're still rolling stones. Yeah. Now that you saved me, I sing 'cause you gave me song of revival. I sing for survival. Rise up, rise up. Once I was blinded, but now I see it. I heard about the power, and now I believe it. Rise up, rise up. Everything that I've done wrong. Yeah, I'm the one who dug this grave, but you call my name, you call my name. I thought that I was too far gone for everything that I've done wrong. Yeah, I'm the one who dug this grave, but you call my name, you call my name. All at once I came alive, this beating heart, these open eyes, the grave let go, the darkness should have known. Oh, you're still rolling stones, you're still rolling stones. still rolling stones.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. This is the day you have made, O Holy One, and we rejoice. Come, let the world know you dwell with us. Stir our souls with love and hope, and let our feet dance for joy on your good earth. Open our eyes to the hopes and needs of this planet and all who share its life. Embolden our hearts to works of justice in your name. Be present to us. Empower us with your resurrection life. Let the world know through our lives that Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Reading response from Psalm 118, 1 to 2 and 14 to 24. O God, thanks to the Lord, for God is good.
Their steadfast love endures forever.
Let all God's people say,
God's steadfast love endures forever.
The Lord is our strength and our might and has become our salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. And the right hand of the Lord does
valiantly.
It's like in my mouth.
Good. We shall not die, but we shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord.
Though God has disciplined us often, we are not abandoned to death. Open to us the gates of righteousness, that we may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it.
We thank you that you have answered us and have become our salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Let's sing. Jesus, we lift your name on high. Your name on high. Be lifted high. Jesus, we lift your name. Alabaré, te alabaré. Cristo, tu nombre, alabaré, alabaré, te alabaré. Alabaré, 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 tu nombre, alabaré, alabaré, alabaré.
Jesus comes to offer us peace that passes understanding. So we receive that peace and we pass it on to one another. So let us now in a moment, a few moments of holy chaos, go to gallery view and let's see each other and greet one another with the signs of Christ's peace. So you should be able to unmute and just go to gallery view and let us greet one another. May the peace of Christ be with all of you.
And you know
and
it
is. And with all of you.
And also with you.
Thank you, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hallelujah.
Happy Easter, Mike.
Hi.
Oh, Eloise.
Peace be with. Peace be with.
Happy Easter. Happy Easter.
Amanda, Michelle, you look amazing.
Hi, Pat. You look amazing.
Morning, Todd.
Hi, Maya.
Hey, everyone. Peace, Jake Jacobs in Portland.
Hi, Beck. Hi, Charlene.
Peace, everyone.
Your music was great. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hello, Lynn Lamp.
Hello, Pax. How are you?
Hi, good to see you.
Hi. I love the cello. I love the cello.
Hi, Deb.
Love the cello.
Peace.
Oh, there she is.
Happy birthday, Maya. Rose.
Hi, Pastor Katie.
Hi.
Birthday, Rose.
Hello, Eli.
Hi, Eli.
Happy birthday, Rose.
Hey, Scott. Great to see you. Happy Easter.
Oh, is it Rose's birthday? Happy birthday, Rose. Happy birthday, Rose.
This is chaos.
Chaos.
Happy Easter.
Easter chaos, everyone.
Welcome home, Elsie.
Good morning, Angela.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Michael.
Oh.
Hi.
That's my favorite.
Hi, Andy and Lynn.
Good morning, Auntie Laura.
Hello.
Oh.
Auntie Laura. Where is Auntie Laura? I don't know
where she is.
I lost you. Hey, Auntie Laura. I lost you for a minute in the chaos.
Thomas Cursor is on Auntie Laura.
Hi, King Ritter.
Yeah.
Good morning, buddy.
Their parents.
Happy birthday, Rose.
Hi, Deb. Hi, Helen.
Hi, Deb.
Hi.
Hi, Geneva.
Good morning, Sarah.
Hi, Geneva.
Hi, hi. Hi,
hi.
Hi, hi. Helen, nice to have you with us.
See you, Eloise.
Vic and
Sherman. Should be 64.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Hello, Sarah Hill.
Hi, Sarah.
This is the time in our service where we invite the children and the young at heart to come closer to the Zoom screen to hear the children's time. So if you're one of the folks who would like to be part of a smaller circle for that time, you can go down to your reactions button on your Zoom window and click raise hand to be put in part of that small group. So let's sing together.
Come and see, I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, come as a child, oh come and see.
Hi everybody, my name is Lucinda and I use she and her. And this is Robert, and he uses he and him. And today we are going to talk about communion. And I don't know if you know this about Robert, but his favorite part of church is communion. Robert, why do you love communion? What did you tell me before? Robert told me that he loves communion because of the food. He loves the food. Eating food at church is fun. Yeah. And being at home, we get to eat food also, and we get to pay and we get to have juice. So, but I was thinking that I wonder if kids what kids think about communion, what you wonder about communion, and what you think about why we have communion. So I was thinking I would tell you a little bit about what I think about communion. And you know, one thing it makes me think about, did you know, I don't know if you knew this, we haven't talked about this. Did you know that trees communicate? How do trees communicate? Do you know?
With smells.
With smells? Oh, see, I didn't know that. I also knew that trees communicated with fungus through their roots. Yeah? So trees know that they are connected to each other because they have roots that go down into the soil. Yeah? Well, humans don't have roots that connect into the soil. And so we forget that we are connected to each other. Grown-ups especially forget that we are connected to each other. And so communion, here's that word communion. Communion makes me think about connection. Communion makes me think about connection. Communion helps us to remember that we are connected to each other because we're all doing the same thing at the same time. And something that's nice about being in community is when you can do the same thing together, even if we're far apart, like we are right now. But when we're in church, we stand in a circle and we all do the same thing at the same time. And that helps to make us feel connected to each other. Communion also makes us feel connected to our ancestors, because Christians have been doing communion for as long as there have been Christians. Eating together was probably their favorite part of church too. And in church, that eating together was actually a big part of church for the early Christians. And so communion helps us feel connected to our ancestors. But even if you're not feeling connected to the ancestors or connected to other people, people made this bread and people made this juice. And so we can also remember that we are connected to the people who made the juice and the people who made the bread, the people who grew the food and the people who grew the fruit, right? And then that we're always connected to the earth, because that's where the bread came from and that's where the juice came from, right? So,
Mom, how you make bread is with a chef.
Right, a chef, right? Someone had to make the bread, that's right. So pray with me, please. God, thank you for communion. Thank you for the ways that we can remember that we are connected. We are connected to each other. We are connected to the earth, and we are connected to you and your story of life and death and new life. Amen.
This morning, we'll also sing In Christ Alone, a song by Natalie Grant, and it kind of tells the whole story. So I invite you, as we sing this, to see these images, to imagine this in the story as we go through these four verses together. Let's sing. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones for whom he came. But on the cross, that we might live, he asked Jehovah to forgive. Amazing grace from Christ our Lord, here in the death of Christ I live.
of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, here in the love of Christ I'm free. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. Life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand, till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stay.
Amen.
Yes, 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 yes. Amen, amen, amen. Friends, let us hear the story this morning that comes to us from Mark's Gospel, Chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been already rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he looked at them and said, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? God, on this day, we bring many questions. All of us come here for different reasons, but we also come because we are seeking you. We are seeking to hear the story and the good news. God, we ask that you would speak to us today and that we would experience in some new way this morning your grace. God, I ask that you would speak through me, and I ask that you would speak in spite of me, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be to your glory. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't really like air fresheners. Even the kind of air fresheners that are advertised, you know, with the like nice tan labels that say natural scent, or, you know, a natural cedar wood smell. somehow when you get a whiff, it's just not quite the real thing. The last time I took an Uber, I sat in a car that had some kind of a floral air freshener, and it was so overpowering that when I went into my house afterward, I just took off my clothes and had to change my outfit because it was such a strong scent. If you have kids, your car rarely smells good. Sometimes, you know, you find those like those ancient Cheerios stuck in the crevices of the back seat, mixed with like an old apple juice spill that you didn't quite clean up or didn't quite get cleaned up. And somehow it's just, you just can't ever quite get it smelling good enough. But there's not much worse in my mind than trying to use the air freshener to cover up the stink, you know, because then you get like the fake smell on top of another stink, which is just a whole other kind of a stink. So I'm just not really into the air fresheners as a way of dealing with a stink. Maybe that's actually why I don't like air fresheners. Not so much that they're fake smelling, but that they're used to hide another stench. An air freshener to me is like, as an answer to a stinky car, is kind of like using a cute little Easter bunny as an answer to the cross. Not only does it smell fake, it doesn't deal with the stink of human life. I don't know exactly what brought you here into this space of worship this morning, but I'm sure we have many different reasons for being here. But perhaps there's a deeper reason that many of us share that cuts to the core of our being as humans. We want to know that God is real. We don't just want a whiff of something new. We don't want a whiff of God. We don't want an illusion of newness. We don't want the fake scent. We want the real deal. I don't want a Christianity that I can hang on a mirror in my car to try to cover up the stink of life. I want to know if God really is. I want to know if there really is healing and newness. I want to know if there really is life after death. I want to know if there is life in the midst of death. I want to know if I can go on after the death of a loved one. The fake, the shallow, the Easter bunny, it's not why we're here. We want to know that God is real. When suffering is so deep and when injustice is so pervasive, when our pain is so raw and real, even from this last year, we can't and we don't want to settle for the fake stuff. We don't want to settle for religious platitudes. The police officer, many of us have been following the trial of Derek Chauvin this week. The police officer who killed George Floyd in Minneapolis last year. Many have noted the connection between his trial and the trial of Jesus this Holy Week. As Heather and I were talking about this over the week, Heather said, it's like we're watching the crucifixion again. Even the authorities during Jesus's trial, we're looking for a way, says this in the text, we're looking for a way to condemn him. Looking for a way to condemn Jesus's character, to justify his death, just as is happening with George Floyd. Did he use drugs? Was he a drug user? And so on and so on. And we get this sense, don't we, as we creep along this path where we find more and more reasons to justify a person's death to the point of being able to shout out as the crowd did for Jesus, he deserves to die. He deserves to die. Whenever we arrive at a point as humans where we convince ourselves that someone or some group of people is deserving of death, whenever we arrive at that point, we are crucifying the Son of God all over again. As the author of Hebrews says, from Galilee to Minneapolis to Atlanta to Philly to Myanmar, we are crucifying the Son of God all over again. We know the cross. We know when we're seeing the cross again and again. The story of Jesus's passion, his suffering and death, is a painful story. It's painful in part because if we engage it with honesty, we come face to face with the ways that we abandon and condemn each other. And whenever we do it to each other, we do it to Jesus. Whenever we do it to the least of these, we do it to Jesus. We come face to face with the ways that one minute we can shout Hosanna, and the other minute we're shouting he deserves to die. This is our struggle. It's painful. We know it's real. Last week, I said we can't get to Easter without knowing the cross, and that's true. But in the same way that we can't get to Easter without engaging with the cross, we also can't just stay with the cross, because the cross is not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story. It's not the end of God's story. And God's story is the story that each of us are a part of and are invited to live into more fully and more faithfully every day of our lives. We know we are stuck in the muck and mire of sin, and the power of death is overwhelming, but is this the end? Is this the end? Is my painful divorce the end for me? Will my mourning of my loved one lost to COVID be the only thing that marks my life? Will my family, who rejected me because of my gender identity, be what finally does me in? Is that the end? Will my child ever know mental and spiritual health again? Is this the end? These are the Easter questions we bring. We bring feelings like the poet in Psalm 118 says, I'm surrounded by death. My enemies surrounded me and are surrounding me on every side. Like bees, they blazed like a fire of thorns. I was pushed so hard, I nearly died. It's the Easter question we are asking. Is this the end of the story? Is God real? Is there really healing? Is there really newness? I get the cross. I know the cross. But resurrection? Well, let me tell you, this is the question that the gospel story from Mark invites us into today. We know what has come before. Jesus is dead. He was tortured and killed as an enemy of the state. To the Roman colonial world, he was considered just another imperial statistic. The women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, and other women have been following Jesus. Women in every gospel account, women show a faithfulness to the end that the male disciples fail to do. It reminds us that those who are marginalized are often the ones who understand and follow and become witnesses to us about what faithfulness looks like. These women are faithful to the end, and they want to give Jesus some semblance of dignity in his death. They want to perform proper burial rites. It's a way of caring and honoring a person who has died a publicly undignified and shameful death. They want to honor him, and they do this at risk to themselves. They are there, and they are doing what Christians ought to be doing always and everywhere, to be near to suffering, to care for the bodies and lives of those who have been labeled deserving of death. That's what Christians do. That's what we are to do. To take it from the women, that's the work of Christians. We see the work of these women through those who testify in the courtroom on behalf of George Floyd, humanizing him in the face of a dehumanizing system. We are watching people in effect come to care for a dead body, saying, "You didn't deserve to die. We will honor you and bring honor to your name. We will humanize you even in this death." That is what the women are doing at the tomb. They come to the tomb to honor Jesus's body and life. So Mary and Mary and Salome go and they ask this question, which is our question this morning. Is God real? Is death the end of the story? They ask, who will roll away the stone? Who will roll away this stone for us? They ask. Try saying that out loud. Who will roll away the stone? Say it with me. Ask the question. Who will roll away this stone? Hear yourself saying, asking that question, because this, the women in the story, they are inviting us into the story. This is our question too. Who will roll away the stone for us? And Mark is a genius writer here because he makes a point to make sure we know that the stone is very large. He says the women looked up and they saw the stone and it was very large. It's very large. The massive boulders of death that we are up against are very large. We want to know who will roll away the stone, who will roll away the stones of death in our lives. The answer is strange as Mark tells it. It begins to unfold in the story, but it's not completed. We see the unfolding happen. It's not an answer that comes to us even in words or and it certainly doesn't come to us in any kind of a doctrine, any kind of a like doctrine about the resurrection. There's nothing there about doctrine. There's some kind of an unfolding that's happening in this story. It comes, I think, when we take a step of faith into a place of wonder and mystery that is beyond explanation. It's the wonder and mystery that the women begin to experience. They begin to experience a power that is beyond them and is overwhelming. It's definitely not the power of death. It's another power. A power that pushes over massive rocks of death. And they experience this power, not something that they are in control of. You know, there are many incredible things that humans are capable of doing, but we cannot perform resurrections. No machinery, no human muscle can roll away the stone. And the women are experiencing some kind of power that they are not in control of that is working for life. When the women look up, they see that the stone has been rolled away. And then they hear the messenger tell them that Jesus has been raised, that Jesus has been raised by a power that is more powerful than death and sin and suffering. It's the power of God, a power of grace and forgiveness and love and healing and restoration. God has rolled the stone away and raised Jesus from death. Then the text says that they were terrified and amazed. The word translated for amazed is ekstasis in Greek, which is where we get our word ecstasy from. And ecstasy literally means the displacement of the mind. Ekstasis, it means your mind is no longer operating in the frame it normally operates in. It's like getting out of the mind. It's like getting out of that frame. They are in ecstasis, out of what is normal, out of what is death dealing. They are in a place of ecstasy, but also fear. It's like Mark can't quite describe what's going on. So he's trying to grasp at words at what they're experiencing. They have been taken outside of their usual frame into the wildness of God's liberating love. That's what they're experiencing. Because God has said yes. God has said yes to life when the world has said no. God has said yes to healing. God has said yes to a future with hope. God has said yes to life after death. God has said yes to life in the midst of death. God is still rolling away stones of death. God has said yes to George Floyd. He is God's child. And startlingly enough, God has also said yes to Derek Chauvin. Not yes to what he did, but yes to his redemption too. The gospel story ends abruptly. It ends with the women running away from the tomb in terror and ecstasy. If you have a study Bible, you might note that there are other alternative endings to this story. You'll see that there have been more attempts for writers to provide a more satisfactory ending. We're uncomfortable with the ending in Mark because all we see is just women running away from the tomb in terror and ecstasy. And we hear that they don't say anything to anyone because they were afraid. What kind of a resurrection account is that? But see, I think it makes sense because Mark intentionally ends the story with women running away because somehow we get just a taste. They can feel it. They've experienced it. They know that suffering and death is not the last word. It's the second to last word. The last word is God's yes. Jesus is already ahead of you, they've been told. You'll find him in Galilee, the messenger says to the women. Jesus is already ahead of us too, church. We'll find him alive and ahead of us, doing the things Jesus normally does. Resurrection work, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, exorcising demons, crossing boundaries for the sake of love. And so we are asked to not sit at the tomb any longer. We are asked not to bury God's dream of the beloved community, but instead we are asked to get up and go, to run with the women, to go and recount the deeds of the Lord, to sing with the poet who said in the psalm that though they surrounded me on every side like bees, they blazed like a fire of thorns. I was pushed hard, but I nearly died. But the Lord took me out of a narrow place and set me in a broad place. The Lord is my strength and my might, and it has become my salvation. I shall not die. I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah, thine's the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine's the glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah, thine's the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah.
Loving God, You fill all things with fullness and hope that we can never comprehend. Thank you for leading us into a time where more reality is being unrevealed to us. We pray that you take away our natural temptation for cynicism, denial, fear, and despair. Help us have the courage to awaken the greater truth, greater humility, greater care for one another. May we place our hope in what matters and what lasts, that God is real, trusting in your internal love and presence. May we give our whole selves, our talents, our material possessions to the church with the expectation that it may be used to further God's dream, God's kingdom in this world. Please commit yourself and give as you are able. Celebrate the miracle that was created for all who are ready to receive. Your absolute decree of the risen Son reminds us that our faith is connected intimately to your amazing and unwavering love, O God. The unconditional love that you have repeatedly uplifted to remind us to love all of your children. Multiply these gifts so that the promises of a seemingly distant heaven becomes more of a reality on earth. Glory, hallelujah, amen, ashe, and blessed be.
Amen, amen. We're going to continue our time of prayer now on this day. And for those of you who are new or are not familiar with our service, we open up this time of sharing our prayers with each other. So this is an opportunity for you, if you have a prayer in your heart that you would like to lift up before God and before this community, so we can be praying with you and holding up that prayer with you. This is a time to do that. So all are welcome to share in the chat a word of prayer. And it can be a joy, something you're celebrating. It can be something, a burden, a concern, something that you need prayer for. So we will open up this time, and you are welcome to share now the prayers of your heart. And in just a moment, Lucinda will be reading those prayers out loud. And so we will have a chance to listen to each other and to pray with one another. I want to start just as it feels appropriate in our sharing that we be lifting up the family of George Floyd this week, as I know this has been family and friends. This has been a really difficult week of experiencing trauma to have to relive and re-experience what happened to him. And so we just lift up all of those people who are in that space and are carrying that heavy load of grief. And so I wanted to lift that up as we begin. So now I'll open it up for others who have other prayers. Please feel free to share with us the prayers of your heart. And after each prayer is shared, we will say the words, God in your mercy, and you can all respond together, hear our prayer. Let us pray.
I want to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for all of the folks who worked to create the Good Friday, the Trans Friday service that was on YouTube. It was such a blessing, such a beautiful time. It was hard to be sad because it was so beautiful. So I want to offer thanks and praise to God for that work. So God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Buki, celebrating my mom's birthday and my friend Sue Actio joining us from LA on her birthday as well. I hope I said that correctly. Happy birthday, Sue. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Eloise, thank you, Pastor Katie and Tabernacle, for prayers while I was in the hospital for 16 days. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. God, I'm grateful to have scheduled a brief surgical procedure at the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota to treat my prostate cancer on May 26th. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Wishing my sister-in-law Rose a very happy birthday. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Oh, it's from Lara, sorry. From Rob Thornton. Prayers for healing and blessings for our family and future blessings ahead. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Elizabeth, continued prayers for Rebecca, who is still recovering from COVID complications. She is stable for now, but she anticipates needing further surgeries and is having difficulty paying her medical bills. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Deirdre, for my friend Rick, that he might find strength and peace as he struggles with cancer, and for his family as family and friends as they struggle with him. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Verona, please pray for Sam, who will hear on Wednesday if he is chosen for an internship he interviewed for. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Alaska, celebrating that my girlfriend and I were able to get our first doses of COVID vaccines this week. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Heather and Oscar. Thanksgiving that Oscar recovered quickly from a mild concussion earlier this week. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Prayers from Elizabeth and Ray. Prayers of thanksgiving for our friends Sarah and Andrew, who welcomed a baby this week and delivered a breech baby themselves in their home with a doctor on the phone. Everyone is healthy and safe. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. I also want to offer a prayer of thanksgiving. Elizabeth turns 5 this week on Wednesday. So I'm so grateful for that little girl. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Chris Page, my parents no longer own a home in Michigan. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Sue, prayers of thanksgiving and hope for my dear friends, Buki and Nick, and this beautiful, loving community's unspoken needs. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
Give thanks to everyone who shared through the chat. And I want to lift up as well all the prayers that are unspoken and that remain on our hearts. And so we remember and know that God hears all that we share in the silence as well as out loud. We honor all these prayers that have been shared, and we lift them up to God. In just a moment, we're going to sing together a song of prayer, and we're going to gather these prayers together as we remember them and pray. Before we sing that song, I just want to give a note that right following that, we will be coming to God's table for communion. So, and that table is right in your home, so you can prepare that table and participate if you'd like. And we just ask that you have some elements ready. You can use water, bread, crackers, anything that you have that can be set aside for that sacrament. So please don't feel like you need to have wine and bread. You can use whatever you have for that time. So just if you'd like to prepare those elements as we sing, that would be a good time to do that. So let's sing together our song of prayer as we gather up the prayers of our hearts.
Lord, listen to your children pray. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children pray. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Lord, listen to your children pray. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children pray. Send us love, send us power, send us grace.
As we gather at the table of God, we remember that our homes, our earth, everything belongs to God. And so even the tables that are here in our homes don't belong to us, they are God's. And each of us are invited to come to them, to come to the table of grace in whatever state we are in. If you have a little bit of faith, if you have a lot of faith, if you have a lot of doubts, if you're wondering if newness is real, if God is real, you can still come to God's table because God invites us, however we are and whoever we are, to come as we are. Everyone is welcome to God's table. There are no boundaries to God's love or to this feast. So let us gather at God's table. And though we are not physically together, we are spiritually together, gathered around this table of God. As we sing our invitational song, you are invited to get your elements if you haven't already. And let's sing and welcome each other to the table of grace. Let us sing.
Come to the table of grace. Come to the table of grace. This is God's table. It's not yours or mine. Come to the table of grace.
The table of peace.
Come to the table of peace. Come to the table of peace. This is God's table. It's not yours or mine. Come to the table of peace.
If you have some free hands, what you can do is just extend your hands over the elements and pray the prayer of blessing with me over the elements we have. We thank you, loving Creator, for your word and spirit. You made the heavens and the earth and filled them with life and declared everything good. It is through your goodness that we have this bread and juice to offer, which earth has given and human hands have made. In the sharing of this bread, may we know the power of your healing and resurrection. What we do here is celebrate the life that Jesus has shared among his community through the centuries and shares among us now. Made one with Christ and thus one with each other, we offer these gifts and with them ourselves, a single holy living sacrifice. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, even by his closest friends, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body. It is broken for you. Whenever you eat this, remember me." And in the same way, he took the cup, giving thanks for it, pouring it out. He said, "This is my blood. It's a new covenant. This is the cup of forgiveness. New beginnings, newness, new healing is possible. Whenever you drink this, remember me." And so with these gifts, we give thanks and we share and we eat and we celebrate. The bread of life is broken for you. Let's eat. Cup of mercy is poured out for you. Let us drink.
Santo eres, Señor.
Let us pray. Oh Christ, we thank you for this feast of life. Fed by your love and strengthened by your life, we humbly accept your call to go into this world, to live with hope, to share your joy. You commission us to feed as we have been fed, forgive as we have been forgiven, and love as we have been loved. Thanks be to God. Let us pray now the prayer that Jesus taught us. If you don't know it by heart, you can follow along on the screen in front of you. Let's pray. Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, who will roll away the stone? Who will roll away the stone? Only God can roll away the stones of death, those massive boulders of death. And our invitation today and into this week is to somehow join our feet with the feet of those women who experienced the power of life breaking through in unbelievable ways, and to join with them in running with that good news. It may only feel like a small thing we can grasp, and maybe it's just a little piece of faith that we're holding on to today. But allow, if you will, that good news of God's life and healing and wholeness to come to you and grasp onto that this morning and this week. So go knowing that you don't go alone. Let us go forth into the world holding on to God's dream of the beloved community. Let's get up and go and serve one another, serve God, serve each other, serve creation. Go in peace. Amen.